Good morning. Well, you folks just proved if I call a meeting every week, attendance would go up. Glad to have everyone with us this morning. So, does everyone have a bulletin? We're starting to run out towards the end. Okay, it looks like we're good. We're not going to print any more off. We're just going to make you share if you have to. So, our order of service is different today. This is called the service of prayer and preaching. You're going to learn a new service today. All right, so everyone take a deep breath. Hold it. Let it out. Shake out your hands. And then compose your nasty email to the elder somewhere later on in the service. Our order of service will begin with our opening hymn, but before we do that, we have what we call the 10-foot high rule, where we encourage everyone to say good morning to their neighbors. If you don't know somebody, get to know them. You've got 2 minutes, starting now. So if you'll make your way back to your pew, our entrance hymn, key words here, if you will make your way back to your pew, we're just having too much fun. I see some more people coming in. I know we're going to be short of bulletins, so if you've got an extra bulletin, raise up. Someone will probably come and grab it from you. Our entrance hymn is, O God, My Faithful God. That's number 696 in the bulletin in the hymnal if you don't have a bulletin. And we will stand at the last verse.
Thank you.
begin with the opening versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of all evil. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue with the Old Testament canticle. God's holy word.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn away from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteous of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and for the wickedness of the wicked he shall not fail by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sins and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. Then the righteous turns from his righteousness. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
The children are invited forward for a children's message.
Yeah, you hear all that? Okay, let's try it again. Okay, how's that? Oh, look at everybody. This is, you got to have a meeting every Sunday, Pastor Amy. We had 28 in Bibleville. Not since I have been in Bibleville have I seen 28 kids in Bibleville. It was awesome. It was so awesome, I didn't even prepare enough, did I? But it was awesome. Anyway, okay, so this is great. So many are here, so I was going to ask you a question. I was driving home the other night, and I noticed some kids out on a field. Is it baseball season?
Yeah.
Yeah, or T-ball? Chloe, don't you play T-ball?
I do.
And you? Yeah.
And me too.
Gus? Where's Gus? You play ball, I know that. You play baseball? You do too? Ah, so I guess it's the season. Awesome. You do too, Andrew? All right. So let me ask you, so many of you play baseball. Can I ask you a question about it? So how many times do you get to swing at the ball?
Three times.
Three times?
Not in ours, you get five tries.
Five?
If you miss, three,
You're not out?
Whoa.
Oh my goodness, as many tries as you want to, you hit it? Well, that's pretty good. How about outs? How many outs do you get? How many? Three. Three outs, and then it's the other turns team. Can I ask you something? Why do you get so many tries? You get so many chances, three chances to strike out or hit the ball, three chances to be out. Oh, so it. Oh, I see. So you're learning by your mistakes. So if you just got one chance, you wouldn't learn as much? I get it. So they do give you a lot of chances. I was just thinking, how many chances does God give us? A lot? As many until we get it right? Are we going to get it right?
Yes.
When?
Eventually.
In heaven, right? Yeah, God does give us a lot of chances, but we do things. You can call in baseball, you say you make mistakes, right? Or errors. We do the same thing. We call them sin. Sometimes we don't do the things we should, right? And sometimes we do the things we shouldn't. It's kind of, wow, there are things that God wants us to do and we never get those right. And there are things that he doesn't want us to do and we don't get those right either. So God gives us chances. And all we have to do when we make those mistakes, those sins, is first, what do we have to do? Before that, what do we have to do?
To
God. What do we have to do to God? But we don't say, well, yes. What do we call that? Yeah, we say you're sorry, we're repenting. Yes, Elizabeth.
We pray to God and ask him for forgiveness.
That's right. We pray to God and ask him for forgiveness. And how many times does he forgive us?
As many times.
A zillion, gabillion?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need that forgiveness, don't we? Because we never seem to get anything right. And so God, he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Our names are on that cross. Jesus went to the cross because of us, because of our sins. And still, when we sin, he gives us another chance, and another chance, and another chance. And I am glad he does. Are you? Are you glad for those chances? I am. I am very glad for those chances. Let's say a prayer. Ready? We'll do an echo prayer, okay? So I'll say it and then you say it, okay?
Dear God,
we know that we sin every day. And we are so thankful
that you are always ready
to give us more chances. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming up.
We continue now with the responsory. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We continue with the catechism, beginning with the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And then finally, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13. Glory be to you, O Lord. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I want to go back to the beginning of our gospel reading, those first verses. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish." So far, the word of the Lord. As I sat down to jot down my notes, work through translating the Greek of today's gospel account, I found myself drifting off to things that were going on around in the world. I had received an email from the Voice of the Martyrs alerting me to the plight of Syrian Christians who are now being targeted for extermination by the new Syrian regime. And right after that, I had an email from a good friend whose sister had married a Ukrainian and who had become a teacher in that war-torn country. Her school had been destroyed by a drone that the Russians had sent. And while reading those emails, on the news was the story of the 17-car pileup just outside of Lubbock during that windstorm, in which people died and were horribly injured. You know what? Not much has changed since the days of Jesus. Tyrants still act with tyranny. Towers still fall. Tragedies still happen. And such events continue to raise questions about God, about fairness, mortality. Those things challenge our beliefs, our hopes, our illusions in this all-knowing, all-powerful big guy up in the sky out there that if I just believe and pray and behave myself, he will make sure none of that stuff happens to me or to those that I care about. Such events contradict my notions of fairness, that you get what you deserve, that the good will be rewarded and the bad will be punished. Tyrants, towers, and tragedies remind me of my mortality, that life is fragile, short, and uncertain. I want to know why these things happen, don't you? I want some explanation, some way to make sense of it all. I have this fantasy that if I can just understand it all, I can control it all. And maybe you do too. But today, Jesus isn't helping in any of that. He does not give us a solution to our struggle. He doesn't offer any explanation or any way of understanding why Pilate mingled the blood of the Galileans with that of their sacrifices, or why the Tower of Siloam fell. Tyrants, falling towers, and tragedy intensify the preciousness of life and bring greater awareness to what we are doing with our lives. They intensify the meaning of this moment. They remind us nothing should be wasted or taken for granted. They intensify the way that we look at ourselves, look at our world with new eyes, to see each other in new ways, to gain clarity about what really matters and how we want to live in our surroundings. Jesus is not focusing on why these things happen. Jesus focuses on how we live in a world where these kinds of things happen. How is a better question than why. How opens the door, why narrows it. How tends toward the future, why looks back at the past. How is imaginative, why is definitive. How do we find our place in our midst of all this uncertainty and turmoil? How do we not lose ourselves to the pain and the tragedies of our lives in this world? How do we keep ourselves in the midst of conflict and violence? How do we sharpen our vision to see more clearly? How do we keep our hearts and our minds focused on hope? How do we live in the valley of the shadow of death? Repent. That's Jesus' answer to the how question, and he says it twice in today's gospel. Unless you repent, you will perish just like they did. Why did Pilate kill the Galileans? Why did that tower fall on those people? The disciples make this assumption that, well, those who died must have done something wrong to deserve such punishment, right? They assume that bad things happen to bad people. And yet we see God is not so capricious in his judgment. In fact, if you paid attention to our Old Testament reading, the prophet Ezekiel is commanded, "And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you said, surely our transgressions and sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we be saved? Say to them, as I live, declares God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Bad things happen in life just like good things happen in life. And rather than focusing on the why of the unexplained, we are challenged to focus on the how with which we are to proceed. And so when you hear that phrase, "unless you repent, you will all likewise perish," you may conjure up images of fire and brimstone, or you may think repent means to say that you're sorry, to feel remorse for your sins, to promise that you'll be good and do better next time. However, that word repent in the Greek, the language of the New Testament, is metanoia. Metanoia does not mean feel sorry or to promise to do good. Metanoia indicates a changed mind, to adopt a different perspective, to have a new consciousness of one's own flaws and fallibilities. Metanoia indicates a complete reorientation of one's whole being away from the traps and the snares of this world and toward God. Repentance is a complete reorientation toward God. Now, after Jesus talks about sin and suffering to his disciples, he then tells them a parable. In this parable, a man owns land, and he's noticed that a certain fig tree in his garden has not been bearing fruit. The tree's at least 3 years old. It's mature enough to bear fruit, but here we are, 3 years later, and still no figs. The owner's patience has worn thin. In his frustration of finding no figs on one of his fig trees, he tells the gardener to cut it down. Just get rid of it. Instead, the gardener appeals to his master to allow that tree to have one more year to bear fruit, to have a second chance. He says that he's going to care for the tree, that he's going to fertilize the soil all around that tree. He's going to water it. He's going to take care of it. And if that tree doesn't bear fruit, well, then the owner can do as he wishes. And when we see and we hear this parable through the lens of faith, we all recognize the landowner as being God. Jesus is that gardener. We are those figless fig trees. And we understand the context in connection to those tragedies that had befallen others. We understand God is holy. And in that holiness, he is displeased with our unholiness. He is angry and fed up with us. We've tried his patience for way too long. God has finally had it up to here with us. We've gotten on God's last nerve, and he's ready to be done with us. And then thankfully, Jesus speaks up. He comes to our rescue. He convinces God to give us more time, to give us another chance, a second chance. And through this rethinking of what Jesus speaks of, we repent. That is, we reorient our hearts and our minds toward God. The why of what happens on this side of heaven no longer concerns us as much as the how we are to make it through our earthly journey with repentance, with our focus on God who gives us second chances. We understand that true repentance involves more than momentary feelings of sorrow or guilt, that it also includes faith in God's promises, which leads us to a fruitful life of love toward God and others. The Lutheran fathers tell us that after a person has been justified by faith, There then exists a true living faith working through love. That means good works always follow justifying faith and are certainly found in it when it is a true and living faith. For faith is never alone, but is always accompanied by love and hope. The vine dresser refused to give up on his unfruitful tree. He put himself between it and the judgment that it deserved, serving both as mediator and caretaker. He promised to nurture it, to help it bear fruit. And this is exactly what God does for us through his Son and his Holy Spirit. God addresses our unfruitfulness with mercy and forgiveness in Christ. He gives us the gospel of grace and hope. He waters us in baptism to encourage our roots to grow. He feeds us with the sacrament of his own Son's body and blood. The God of second chances gives you the forgiveness and the hope that shows you how to live, even when you cannot understand the why of what is happening around you. I don't get wrapped up in gardening. That's my wife's gig. But I do have a little penchant for the unusual, the different. At our last two homes, I've planted this little squiggly thing called Harry Lauder's walking stick. It's also known as Corylus Evian Contorta. They're a bush. It's weird. It's unique. It's named after a famous Scottish entertainer, Harry Lauder, who would always carry around a twisted walking stick. It takes patience to transplant and grow them. Since they look sickly to start out with, you can never be certain that they're going to make it. But you water it, and you fertilize it, and you talk to it, and maybe when no one's looking, you point a nasty finger at it. And after a time, it fills out and presents its blossoms for you to enjoy. But you have to be patient. You've got to mind your time. You got to keep nurturing it, just like God does us in his grace and mercy. So today we praise the God of the second chance, who comes to us in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, keep your hearts and your minds and your eyes and your ears focused on him. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with our hymn of the day, I Walk in Danger All the Way. loved Miss Carroll's children's message when she asked the kids, if you pray to God for forgiveness, how many times does he forgive you? And someone shouted out, every time. I wanted to add, all the time. Thank God Elon Musk is not in charge of redemption, right? God gives graciously, extravagantly, lovingly to us. And when we give, it's our way of saying thanks. Thanks with giving. And we give for the sake of proclaiming the message of hope and truth in Jesus to Midland, to this region, to the state of Texas, to this nation, to the world. That's what you support with your giving. And so now we receive the giving of God's people in recognition of all that God has given us. Please rise for the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those on grace praise, as well as those that we hold in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, holy and just, loving and merciful, we give you thanks and praise that in Jesus you give second chances to undeserving sinners. Give to us the wisdom to acknowledge our wrongdoing, confess our sin, and receive your holy absolution, that we may not be unfruitful trees fit only to be dug up according to your law. Hear us as we pray all things through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit, the one true God, now and forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We continue now with the New Testament canticle. Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for the announcements. First thing that I'd like to announce is that if you'll excuse me, I'm not going to greet you at the door when we're done. I'm actually going to take off and change back into my suit and get things ready for our presentation. So I'm not trying to be unfriendly. I'm just trying not to keep you here forever and a day. We will immediately leave from here, go down to the fellowship hall. There is food. Margie insists that I tell you, it's not a meal, it's food. All right? And we will also have babysitting for any of the kids. We're going to have the gym open and stuff. So they are going to be taken care of, Mom and Dad. You can stick around. As soon as everyone kind of gets settled in and I can get things up and ready to go, we're going to start the presentation on the listening post. You'll notice when you get in there, there is a microphone kind of in the middle of the room. We're going to turn that on. So when I ask, allow for questions, time shows up, go to the microphone. Don't just start jumping around and asking questions. That way we can keep a little control and dignity in the situation. So go to the microphone, and once we point you out, then you can ask your question or make your comment when that time comes. All right, that takes care of that. We got better things to talk about. We've got Easter coming around the corner. That's right, it's only a few weeks away. We're halfway in the middle of Lent now. So we continue to have our Lenten midweek meals, but they start at 5 instead of 5:15. Our classes start at 6 instead of 6:15. And of course, our evening service is at 7. We do have a noon service that you can come to as well. We're using the order of Vespers for those services. And then comes Holy Week. All right, so that's 16, 17, 18. You know, those right in the middle of April. Don't be like Pastor who bought tickets for Good Friday without realizing it was Good Friday for the Rockhounds game. Fortunately, they gave me the next day. Anyway, so Thursday night, we have our Maundy Thursday service. That's a communion service and stripping of the altar. That will be at 7. Good Friday is our Passion service. That will also be at 7. And then for Easter morning, we're going to have a 7 o'clock service in here. We're going to retire to the fellowship hall for breakfast. We'll have Bible class, and then we have the 10:30 service again in here for Easter. So that's the order of services coming up. We also could still use some filled plastic eggs. The empty ones are great, but it'd be great to have something in them. You know, you wouldn't want to be the kid with the empty egg, would you? So if you can buy some eggs, fill them up, drop them off. We got boxes scattered all over for those kinds of things. And I think that's all I was pointing out. Miss Carol, you don't have anything, do you? All right, Pastor made it through without missing anything. Our hymn of departure is Herald, Sound the Note of Judgment. And again, I will greet you into the fellowship hall, not back there.